You're tuned into tomorrow. Right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Attention, those of you looking to go on a fun vacation and see the world on the cheap. Today, the U.S. dollar is worth even more in other countries, so there's never been a better time to travel outside the USA. The dollar is worth over $1.30 in Canadian dollars, and it's the same for Australia. You can fly there today and have fun and maximize your travel dollar. Your U.S. dollar is worth over $3 in Brazilian reals, and it's worth over $18 in Mexican pesos. Plus, in Argentina, it's worth over $27 in Argentine pesos. Just think of the bargains you'll get. And the way you get the cheapest airfare to any destination is by calling Tickets That Cheap. Save up to 75% on your foreign vacation tickets. Don't wait. Call now. 800-586-8571. 800-586-8571. 800-586-8571. That's 800-586-8571.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
Yes, you're tuned into Tomorrow for the weekend of November 22nd, 2019. Thank you for joining us on the program. I am Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
And here in our Miami Studios control room is Erasmo Horatio, working with the show, still out of New York. Why do I say still? Well, because he was with us for many years here in Miami, but then he moved to New York for a job that actually paid some money. You know, get out of radio, but not totally out of radio. He's still working with us. So thank you very much. Doing the posts and research and all the fun stuff. And, of course, we're going to be getting to more of your calls and helping to solve, hopefully, your digital dilemmas on this weekend. But the new Disney Plus streaming service off to a rocky start. I'm sure you heard about this. Thousands of users' credentials for their just-launched Disney Plus service had been hacked. Didn't even take a day. And are now being sold on hacking forums. Some Disney Plus users reported finding unfamiliar names and extra profiles added to their accounts that they just opened, while others received notifications that their account information, like contact emails and passwords, had been modified, locking them out of their own accounts.
Nice.
Good job, Mickey.
Yeah.
For being able to protect your users on your brand new streaming service. Speaking of which, you're not happy with a streaming service these days, and it isn't Disney.
Well, but it's owned by Disney.
Yeah, same difference,
stupid,
right?
Hulu, I got a notice from my Hulu Live TV that it's going to jump by $10 a month starting next month.
Oh, just instantly, $10 more.
An extra ten, you know, when I started the service 2 years ago, I was paying $35 a month. Now, as of December 16th, I think I'll be paying $55 a month.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's apparently because they have to pay for, you know, offsetting the cheap cost of the Disney Plus thing. So,
yeah.
Everybody who's signing up for a Disney Plus account, you're welcome. I'm paying for your membership.
Wait, did you hack them?
No,
you're paying for the membership. Boy, it's almost, I won't go that far, but it almost makes you miss a little tiny bit cable.
They're probably in cahoots with Comcast. Comcast is probably doing this so that I'll come crawling back to them.
Yeah. Comcast, did you miss me? I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah.
But that's absurd. And with so much competition now, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thinking the same thing. It's like, that's nuts. I was getting Hulu or some of these many other streaming services, but they keep hiking the prices. What's up with that?
I was even looking into some of the competition. YouTube TV apparently raised their rates recently because they're $50 a month now for for a similar thing.
And, gosh.
And Sling is a similar price, but in order to get the local channels, you have to they'll give you a free antenna, but it's all over the air. They don't stream the local channels, so it's like they're all in cahoots.
They are. It's a terrible thing. Somebody's got to come out with something that will really be competitive, like a $6.99 Disney Plus kind of price for everybody else. I mean, that's great. You got kids, spend $7 a month until they raise it. Don't be surprised. I told you so. I'm going to say it. Because they're not going to wait long before they raise it. But yeah. In the meantime, they're raising other stuff to get your money one way or the other.
Yeah, well, and, you know, the last time Hulu raised the rates, they said one of the reasons was because they were offering more programming. But they are offering channels that I would never watch, and they took away channels that I would watch to make room for those channels that I would never watch. So I'm paying more for less that I would take advantage of.
Hooligans.
Yeah.
That's what I think they are. They're just hooligans taking your money. But if someone else has had better luck with perhaps a less known streaming service, because you want local channels, that's important, or you can put up a little digital antenna and connect it to your TV and have local channels, but you at least want streaming options that will give you stuff you will watch.
Yeah, I may end up going with an over-the-air antenna, one of those like Tableau boxes, so I can record over the air, and then just subscribing to a couple of apps from networks that I would watch, like the Travel Channel or History Channel, because at $5 or $8 a month each,
and I'll just cast it to your TV from your phone or a tablet, and it's going to be a whole lot cheaper. Because I get it. A lot of people say, but I don't watch half the channels I'm paying for. Well, that's kind of the old cable mentality. Uh-huh. Oh, boy. So if you've got some other tips for Chris, he likes History Channel, too. What else could he use? 800-899-INTO, or even gooder. Yes, I'm a talk show host, and I just said that. Your son caught me the other day. That's not even a word. Use the free Into Tomorrow app.
It's that time of the year to spread some cheer and thank your customers. And the best way to do that is with a custom holiday on hold message from Advanced Productions. For over 40 years, we've been providing affordable audio and video services to businesses around the world. Let us create a custom holiday on hold message for your business for less than $200 with no subscriptions or extra fees. Call us today at 888-899-8511 or visit onholdaudio.net.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline, reminding you that our brand new, updated, free Into Tomorrow app is available for you. In your favorite app store, just search those two words, Into Tomorrow, and snag our app, and you can tap it and join the program, participate that way. It's very easy. Hear us 24/7 if you'd like. There's all sorts of great ITTV videos there for you, everything available with the Into Tomorrow app. And since we will be launching our 25th year on the air coming up in January, we hope that you continue to be a longtime listener in various and sundry ways, all 3 hours of the weekly broadcast covering consumer tech all the time. Our next guest is a leader in transforming diabetes care and management by providing continuous glucose monitoring, often called CGM technology, to help patients and healthcare professionals better manage their diabetes. Our regular listeners know that I've been talking about Dexcom for years. I personally am a very satisfied Dexcom user with their latest G6 system. Their chairman and CEO of Dexcom is Kevin Sayer. Kevin, welcome back into Tomorrow. How you doing?
I'm great today. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you. And you guys have been pushing a very cool campaign of the end of finger pricks, and I love it.
We have.
Yes, and of course, November being National Diabetes Awareness Month is certainly timely that you and I are chatting to help more and more people manage their diabetes. But the whole idea of ending finger pricks catches a lot of good attention. I think it's an awesome marketing idea.
Oh, we think it's a great program, but more important than that, it's a great feature of the system.
Sure.
I can't tell you how many people have come up to me since we launched the G6 platform and literally, Dave, shown me their hands and say, look, I don't have scratchy fingers anymore.
Yes.
This is, you know, and I don't have diabetes, but I've worn these devices and stuck my finger numerous times. I got to tell you, that's a big deal.
Oh, for sure. And I've done that with some of our staff and family where I pull out an old finger pricker, if you will, and a meter and the whole bit. And I said, well, this is what I used to have to do. Let's check yours. No, I don't need to be. Well, and then once in a while, somebody will say, all right, let's make sure that I don't have diabetes, you know, and their blood sugar's fine. But they're saying, wait, you did this like every day? I said, no, several times a day.
Oh,
And that's where people are saying, yeah, if I can not have to do that and still monitor my blood sugar properly, I'm in. And, of course, that's what I love personally about the G6 system. And you guys have been doing this for many years. You've really perfected it.
You know, we have made a lot of progress, and the people that work here will tell you I'll never let them rest. So we continue to work on this every day to make it better. We made a huge jump in going from G5 to G6 with the physical form factor, you know, a single button push to put it on your body, some new alarms, a predictive low alert. So rather than wait till you cross a threshold, it predicts. And then certainly no calibrations.
Yeah.
And those features have just been a huge growth driver for our business.
And I don't know how you do it with that new single button push device to install the little sensor. I don't know if install's the right word, but that's what I call it, to apply it, I guess.
Apply is a good word.
Yeah, apply is good, yes, because you're applying it to your body, you know, so you're not installing. But to apply the sensor every 10 days is amazing that it doesn't hurt at all. And, you know, every 3 days, unfortunately, the Omnipod pump that I have to put on is like, ow, everybody hears me yell when it clicks in, and it's like, ow, okay, well, that hurt for a second, but shouldn't.
Yeah.
And it's just the difference in the method that you and your team have managed to put together to perfect this thing. I am truly blown away by it, and it just makes life so much easier in every way.
You know, that insertion technology, I'm glad you brought that up. Because there's a lot of guys who worked very hard on that for a long time. And I ask a lot of questions. So one of the things I learned, I asked, how long is that needle in your body without automatic insertion? It's the time that a hummingbird can beat its wings three times. Boom, boom, it's gone. It's literally just seconds. And not having the fear of the needle, not having to see the needle that goes into your body, just the button push has made this whole experience much more engaging for our patients, and particularly as we've grown, and we've grown in the Medicare population, for example, you don't have to have a whole lot of dexterity to put the G6 system on.
Oh, it's very easy.
You have to have a lot more dexterity to use G5. So we think it's a feature that our market really needed.
True. Now, and you talk about, well, first of all, kudos to that team. By all means, please pass on my congrats, because they've done a heck of a job. And even as great as it is, I know they're working to perfect whatever they can do better, even more. And and that's terrific. But let's talk about the G5 is still available, right? Is that also a continuous glucose monitoring system for those not familiar?
Oh, it is. It is our previous generation continuous glucose monitoring system. It does require finger sticks for calibration twice a day. Mm-hmm. But it is a great product as well. It's the first product, for example, that ever went straight to the phone for patients, so they could view their mobile device and get their glucose values. We created a lot of technology with the G5 system, and that has been a good product for us. We will keep it around for a while because some patients like it, and as naturally with any company, we'll eventually phase it out, because we're also, in addition to G6, working on G7, Dave, and you can't only have so many G's around here. We're going to have to, you know, we'll have to make some choices, but we're very comfortable that our new technologies will delight our patients, and they'll eventually all shift over.
And Kevin, I love how you say there's only so many G's, because it's like our discussions every week on the show about you know, cellular coverage, and now we're at 5G and already talking about 6G, and it's just
There's just only so many generations of product you can support.
Oh, for sure. Are we any closer to getting the G6 also eligible for Medicare, or is that something that is already happening?
Actually, that is happening now, Dave. We announced early November that for our Medicare patients, we've made G6 available, and they can go to Walgreens, actually, and pick that up. We've entered into an agreement with Walgreens on the distribution side for our Medicare patients to handle all the paperwork process through the drugstore. And anybody who is involved in these products knows the distribution and obtaining the products can sometimes be harder than it should be.
Oh, for sure.
We really felt this Walgreens relationship, and ultimately with others later, if we can get our Medicare patients to the drugstore and get the CGM to patients as part of their normal health care purchasing patterns,
unknown caller,
it's just going to be a lot better. And so I'm we're really excited for this.
As well you should be, and even with an unknown caller, they're probably asking about the GCM system. And
yeah, I'm sorry. I don't even have any idea where that's why it's unknown. I got the computer on silent, but I didn't have my phone turned down.
No worries. Well, at least you know it's not me calling because we're here.
Right.
We got you. Can you give me, first of all, before we get, I've got so many other good questions. Well, I hope they're good questions that I'm imagining our listeners wanting to know about. But tell us a little bit more, maybe a little more insight about Dexcom in general. What exactly you do? Because we're talking about, of course, constant glucose monitoring and the importance for not only those of us that are diabetic, but perhaps have some in the family or friends, and you just want to get more information, and your company's mission overall.
That's a great segue for me. I could spend the whole rest of the interview talking. You wouldn't have to ask another question, but I'll try and keep it brief.
No worries.
Our mission is very simple. It's to empower people to take care of diabetes. And by people, we mean not only those who have it, but their caregivers and their families and those around them. A continuous glucose monitor is a technology that has been in development, and you know, for many, many years. I saw my first one way back in the early 90s. But now with the G6 system, where we have no calibrations in its features, I think we're really finally delivering the promise that people saw when we looked at this many, many years ago. So someone who has diabetes, you talked about the finger pricks. Somebody managing their diabetes prior to CGM would stick their finger anywhere between 4 and 8 or 12 times a day if they're really trying to manage their blood glucose values. And with that finger prick, all you get is a number. This is where your glucose is today. No information on whether you're going up or down. You get that number, and then you make a decision with a life-saving and life-threatening drug, insulin, as to how much you're going to give yourself and what you're going to do. With a CGM, we get a glucose reading every 5 minutes automatically. The way the sensors work is there's a small wire that is inserted just under the skin. It doesn't go in very far. And there's tape and a plastic base that lies on the outside of your skin. And for the listeners, if they want to see this technology, there are films on our website, Dexcom.com, where you can go see. But inside this plastic base that lays on your skin with the sensor underneath it, a transmitter is inserted in there. And that whole system on your body generates a glucose value that is then transmitted via Bluetooth from that transmitter to your mobile platform, to a Dexcom receiver, or possibly in some instances to an insulin pump that would receive the data and display it there. The advantages to the phone are one of the things that have driven our incredible growth. With this data on the phone, on top of people being to manage their own diabetes, that data can now be shared with others and can be shared with your family, with your roommate. Ironically, we hear stories all the time about sharing the data, some of which are funny. We've actually caused families to have big problems because kids who go away to college don't want their parents to follow them all the time, as you can imagine. Yeah. Or parents can just get absolutely obsessed with the data and look at it more than their child does. But the advantage of this ability to follow and share data with those who give you care are features that you can't even put a number on. We rang the NASDAQ bell last Wednesday. We had several of our patients there, and one of the patients told me a story about how her glucose values had gone low, and while she heard the alarms, she just really didn't respond to him because she wanted to sleep. And not long afterwards, her door in her hotel room was broken into because her mother, who's on the other side of the world, now think about that, somebody on the other side of the world looking at your glucose data, making sure you're safe.
Wow.
And this young woman said, without your share feature, I don't know that I'd be here.
That's true. She may not have awakened, and I've talked about it on the air before, where my Dexcom has literally saved my life because the doctor was trying to get the proper dosage for the new pump and that kind of thing. And unfortunately, I was actually overdosing overnight without realizing it. And it was the alarm waking me up to get me to go, you know, get a little sugar in my system and be okay with it. I can absolutely relate to that story because if it wasn't for that, I may not have awakened.
And those acute occurrences are extremely important. Over the long haul, though, as you look at technologies, there are very few things that you can go to the world or to the system and say, you know what, this is going to save everybody money over time.
Mm-hmm.
Patients who use a continuous glucose monitor, like I said, they get 288 data readings every day. And as patients start dialing in their therapies and their exercise routines and their nutrition, we just see a tremendous improvement in overall healthcare. A1Cs go down. Their time spent high decreases, time spent low decreases. And not only is everybody happier, they get healthier as well.
Oh, for sure. And I've got to share this really quick with you. And then, Kevin, I'm going to ask, if you don't mind holding a second, there's so many other important questions I want to ask you. We're going to pay a couple of bills and come back. But I knew when I got a new endocrinologist and I first went to his office, and he says, oh, you have the Dexcom. Excellent. We're going to get that information, and then we're going to go over it. I knew that it was the right decision before that doctor, because he was so impressed that we can talk about looking at the data and the highs and the lows and how to deal with things. And it was just one of those extra check marks of, yep, good thing, good idea.
Absolutely.
And as impressed as he was. I'm going to ask Kevin Sayer, President, Chairman, and CEO of Dexcom, DEXCOM.com. Of course, we'll get you there, too, when you visit intotomorrow.com. Hold just a second. We're right back with more.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
Into Tomorrow continues. I'm Dave Graveline. We're chatting with the President, Chairman, and CEO of Dexcom, Kevin Sayer. And before the break, talking about all kinds of cool and unique things. And, of course, the Dexcom company mission of not only helping save people time and being able to better control their diabetes, but as I've been saying for years, literally saving people's lives. And Kevin, I think that alone gives you and your team the great impetus to keep going.
Incredible. It's incredibly motivating. It really is. It's certainly one of the reasons to keep coming every day. Our patients are kind of like family to us frequently, and it's really a good, it's a great dynamic for us.
Oh, terrific. I wish I could have been there to help ring the NASDAQ bell with you. But then that brings me to another point. You just came off some Q3 earnings. Anything you want to share about what's coming down the pike for Dexcom?
Our Q3 earnings report was our best quarter ever. On the revenue side, it was our highest dollar growth quarter ever. We'd grown $130 million over the third quarter of a year ago.
Nice.
Our growth rate is over 40% on the revenue side. And as of 9 months this year, for the first time in our history, we're now profitable on a GAAP basis, and our quarter was very profitable. So our third quarter was very, very strong, and that really demonstrates, Dave, the strength of the business and the severity of the problem that we address and that we hope that we solve.
And I think it's mostly up to the CEO of Dexcom. You're doing it.
Oh.
You're making
no,
it.
No, we have great people here.
Of course.
I can't take credit for. I just I love being part of it.
Yeah, and I can tell you guys have a passion, not only you, Kevin, of course, as the CEO, but everyone that I've dealt with there, you know, at the company in various support roles or just, you know, handling supplies and things. You do know they care, and many of them are using your products, which also gives you the warm fuzzies as a patient to say they get it. They understand my questions, and they absolutely want to help.
Oh, we have several people who have type 1 diabetes who work here and give us valuable input on product design and everything that we do. And on top of that, in all candor, I would tell you our executive team sometimes are called human pincushions because we all, while we don't have diabetes, most of us, we do try the product and learn, and we do make observations as to what we think we could do better or, you know, evaluate the experience just so we understand what our customers go through.
And that's very important and good that you do that. You mentioned how many G's and the G7 you're already working on. You know, I'd be remiss if, as a talk show host, if I didn't ask, well, what can you do better? What is it that you're not doing that is going to be done differently with a G7 one of these days?
We have three mantras in our product development strategy. Everything we do, we want to make it better from a performance standard, and we push pretty hard on that. Even though we've achieved great performance, we always try and make it better, and we push that agenda. The second one is more convenient for patients to use. And the third one, we try and take cost out of it, because eventually, to get to as big an audience as we want to, we know we have to lower our costs. As you look at the G7 system, performance-wise, our hope is we can get it to last more than 10 days, that we can get out to a 14 or 15 day life. And that will depend on how accurate it is in those later days, but that is our ambition. Mm-hmm. And again, that we don't lose any accuracy from what we have in G6 and possibly pick up a couple of other things that make it a little better. On the convenience side, and this is a really big one for G7, it is a much smaller profile on the body. The transmitter is literally smaller than a quarter, and it's disposable. So when a patient is done with the sensor session, they will peel it off and throw it away. The insertion technology, believe it or not, is fewer steps than the G6.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be simpler. And so that is we are addressing many of the convenience things with that. Shorter warm-up time. We have a lot of good technology we're putting into G7. And on the cost side, we really designed this product for manufacturing. You know, when you are an innovation-driven company like Dexcom, oftentimes you drive everything based on innovation, and then you say, okay, now I got to figure out how to build and sell this thing. With G7, we're kind of starting from a different perspective. How can we build tens of millions of these things and make sure we have our distribution channel in place? And the design was designed to be that type of product. So I really believe that this design, particularly the form factor, is going to be really important as we go forward. Having so little real estate on your body, well, you know, you wear a pump and a sensor. If we can cut that thing down by 70% size-wise, you're going to be happy.
I'm going to be thrilled. And how soon can someone like me be beta testing this for you?
Oh, we're in studies right now, but it's not big-time beta testing. Our hope and our plans are to launch this fully in 2021, with possibly some limited launches in 2020, more the beta type launch where we put geographies or a specific patient group on it for a while to gather data. Mm-hmm. We really have, and you've heard this from us, G6 has been such a good product. We've had a lot of growing pains this year. So we've learned a lot. So as we go to G7, we're addressing all the things we've learned with G6. We're keeping them in mind, and we're going to make sure we have the capacity we need to have before we roll that out, because we think it's just going to be a game-changing system.
Oh, and of course, still reporting to the phone and to smart watches even. And we used to say, don't leave home without your American Express card. You know, now over the last few years, it's like nobody leaves home without their phone. Well, and those of us dependent on constant glucose monitoring, you know, the phone's never beyond an arm's reach even on purpose. And you have that confidence of having that constant glucose reading.
Absolutely. I think phone use has been a big driver in our business. But not only the phone use, I think one of the things to remember about Dexcom is we've tried to create a very open architecture with respect to our devices. So we can talk to partners, insulin pump systems, and ultimately rely on algorithms that will automate, partially automate insulin delivery depending upon the program that, that we're in. We also, as we look forward, over the next 5 years, we know there are going to be insulin pens for those who don't want to use a pump that will have Bluetooth and connectivity capabilities as well, and we'll be able to put all this data together in a Dexcom-based app or an app for somebody else that could possibly give a patient more coaching and more information as we have more data in the same place. This connectivity and this information, I think, is really going to drive better diabetes care.
Wow. Certainly many GCM advantages to look forward to into tomorrow, if you will, because that's exactly the excitement that's building for more and better glucose monitoring. Real quick, because we're way out of time, but I wanted to get a couple things in. I personally, and I know others are too, being bombarded by other companies out there that are, you know, saying, well, we've got things too. All you have to do is tap your phone, or tap a receiver. And it's like, well, why would I do that when it's just constant monitoring anyway? And I don't have to think about tapping or wait a minute, I forgot to tap or something. Oh, well, then we have a third party company that can attach a transmitter. It's like, whoa, I'm not comfortable with now a third party doing some kind of a little transmitter on top of their device. Or how about this one? How about the people that are trying to implant chips under your skin for 3 months? I asked my doctor, and he goes, no, we're not going there. He says, my patients are not dogs. I went, whoa.
David, all fairness, we have been so successful, people are going to follow, and people are going to come to this market. What we have learned, the benefits of continuous monitoring where a patient doesn't have to get involved, where that data goes straight to either the Dexcom receiver, the phone app, the patient's insulin pump, where you can then proactively alert somebody that something's going on rather than have them getting involved all the time, result in much better outcomes.
Yeah, I can't tap it while I'm sleeping, for example, yet the alarm goes off when it's going to save my life.
That's right. And so we've always been committed to continuous feed of this glucose information, and that will be our basis going forward. That's how we have designed our product. It'll never change. We've been very successful with it. But people are going to come, and we've actually gone up against much bigger competitors over the years and done extremely well, and it's a credit to everybody here, our distribution team, our R&D team, our manufacturing team, and we know our products will be delightful in the future, and we have a very bright future with the pipeline going forward. So, yep, you'll hear more noise, but we will always be there.
Yeah, love it. Well, Kevin, you're a delight to chat with. I look forward to getting you back again soon. Not so long between interviews, because you keep coming out with new things and more innovation and great stuff to talk about. So zero finger pricks. You want to check out the G6 system at Dexcom.com. It's Dexcom.com. And you'll see why I continue for years to talk about them in a very favorable light. Kevin, again, thank you so much for joining us on Into Tomorrow again.
Thank you, Dave.
My pleasure. Dexcom.com for more. We'll get you there, too, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. I'm Dave Graveline. We're back with more as Into Tomorrow continues on the Advanced Media Network.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips. Tips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005. That's 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005.
We'll be right back.
Another Into Tomorrow tech tidbit for you to share at the water cooler if you'd like. You know, the original name for Xbox was DirectX Box, designed to show how Microsoft's DirectX graphics could improve the console market. But that's such a long name.
Yeah, I was wondering how they came up with a name like Xbox.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What, like trying to be like iPhone and only we're going to go to X. We're going to go right over there. It's, no. But it was going to be called Direct Xbox. Yeah. I guess it's better name that way.
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available wherever you live or work. Text the word radio to 35,000. Again, text the word radio to 35,000.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
History, 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 history.
Here's Chris.
History, history. Chris is history.
I am?
Well, no. Chris is history. It's an apostrophe.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. It's, I wouldn't fire you by text or on the air. I'd at least give you a piece of paper, a pink piece of paper written on it. You're fired.
Anyway, this week back in 1877, Thomas Edison demonstrated his phonograph for the first time. Originally intended to be used as a dictating machine, the invention proved very popular in the field of entertainment.
This calls for immediate discussion.
In 1889, the first jukebox was placed in service in a saloon in San Francisco. Juke at the time was a slang word for a disorderly house or a house of ill repute.
Whoa!
Cool!
The unit developed by Louis Glass contained an Edison tinfoil phonograph with four listening tubes, and there was a coin slot for each tube.
That ought to keep the little squirts happy.
5 cents bought a few minutes of music. The contraption took him $1,000 in 6 months.
Nice. So somebody went, we've got something going here.
And that's in 1889's money.
Yeah, imagine that. Wow.
In 1961 this week, the Mercury Atlas V launches. Aboard the spacecraft was a chimpanzee named Enos. The spacecraft orbited the Earth twice and splashed down about 200 miles south of Bermuda. The chimp and spacecraft both survived the flight, and the Mercury spacecraft and Atlas booster were now qualified to carry a human into orbit.
Try to take over the world.
And this week in 1972, speaking of taking over the world, Atari released Pong, the first commercially successful video game. The game was first tested in a California bar. Shortly after installation, the machine began to malfunction. When they went in to repair it, they found that the problem was that the coin mechanism was overflowing.
So, what a good problem! Yeah, so, we've made too much money.
Exactly. So I wonder if it was tested in the same bar as that first jukebox.
That would have been interesting. Yeah.
That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info at ifa-berlin.com.
And Barry in Blacksburg, Virginia, listens on 101.7 FM WRAD. Hello, Barry.
I got a question about my computer overheating. I do a lot of video editing. I have a MacBook Pro, my old MacBook Pro. I could edit all day long and never had a problem with it getting too warm. But I went out and bought a new fancy little thin one, still MacBook Pro, a lot more powerful. And the thing gets so hot within just 10 or 15 minutes of editing, it starts to shut down.
Oh.
I do have a little USB fan that I put under it that helps, but it's overheating too quickly. Is there anything I can do setting-wise inside the computer to not get it so hot, or is there a good cooling fan system thing that would help me out? Thanks, guys.
Well, Barry, if this is a new computer, you should send it back and get a replacement. Apple's pretty good about that, and what you're describing is certainly not normal for a new MacBook Pro. MacBook Pros can handle fairly intensive tasks, of course, including video editing, and it's not typical for them to overheat and randomly shut down, especially when they're so new.
Yeah, I mean, the shutdown itself is a security measure to avoid damaging any components permanently. So that in itself isn't a bad thing, but it shouldn't happen often. And it should definitely not happen often with a professional-grade $2,000 computer.
Yeah.
Now, you won't be able to fix this with any software settings, and the only cooling fan you should need is the internal one. So if that's not doing the trick and this is a new machine, it really is time to think about sending it back.
Yeah, I think you might want to consider sending it back if it's a new machine. I think we said that enough, but that's really the point here.
Take it to see a genius.
Yeah. Air quotes, genius bar, yeah, and see what they can do. Because maybe they'll find out that there was some issue or the fan wasn't working properly, or they can maybe fix it right there then and there so you don't have to reload everything. But either way, let us know what happens. IntoTomorrow.com is where I would love to meet you.
My mom's a breast cancer survivor. The United Breast Cancer Foundation saved her life. Their free breast cancer exam caught the cancer early, and it saved her life. But now the foundation needs your help so they can continue offering free or low-cost breast screening exams, saving more women's lives. Help them by donating your car, whether it's running or not. They'll provide fast, free 24-hour pickup, and you receive a charitable tax deduction, plus the great feeling you'll get knowing your donated car is going to help save more lives. Just call 800-295-4183 to set the wheels in motion. They take cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, running or not. Call 800-295-4183. The United Breast Cancer Foundation needs your help, and your donation could literally save women's lives, helping them catch breast cancer early, like they did with my mom. Donate today. 800-295-4183. 800-295-4183.
And into tomorrow, tech tidbit that you may find interesting. During the first live iPhone presentation, Steve Jobs had to frequently switch phones behind the desk. Otherwise, it was running out of RAM and would crash. So he's like nonchalantly doing a magic act there, little thing, and switching the phones to show you something else. And oh, my gosh. Pretty interesting, I'd say. Dave in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Welcome into tomorrow.
I've got a Seagate external hard drive that I cannot get connected to my HP Windows 10.
Well, hard to say much without more information, but we wonder, is the drive formatted? If Windows can't use it, it may just need to be formatted so that Windows can see it, read it, and write to it.
Yeah, and if it's not turning on at all, you may just have a bad connector or a bad board, both of which would be cheap to replace. Or you may have a bad drive, which would probably not be worth the effort. If you have any more information to share, we might be able to help give you some more specific advice. Has it ever worked? When did it stop working? Does Windows give you any error messages? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Are you sure you were holding your left leg up and your right arm up and to make sure? Because Windows requires all kind of weird stuff. So maybe. But Dave, give us some more info. We'll see if we can't dig in a little bit deeper for you. And if you've got a similar question or something having to do with anything involving consumer tech, what should you do, you may ask?
Well, the easiest way is to download our free Into Tomorrow app, because then you can send us a question by hitting that little message to studio button.
Oh, and how does one get the app?
Well, by searching those two words in your favorite app store, Into Tomorrow.
Those are my two favorite words.
Yes, they are.
Into Tomorrow, and then you'll see Graveline Electronics. You'll know you're at the right place. Tap our app, snag the app, and then, yeah, hit that message to the studio button, and then you'll sound like you are right here in the studio. Thanksgiving next Thursday, of course, already. That's important to remember.
Yeah. Unless you're listening to us in Canada, then it's just another Thursday.
Your good point.
So happy Thursday to our Canadian listeners.
Yeah, for next week. Happy Thursday, but we'll be celebrating Turkey Day in the U.S. Didn't they already have their Thanksgiving? They had a Thanksgiving, or is it later?
So. They do have it somewhere around ours. I don't remember if it's before or after.
Yeah, well, we need one of our Canadian listeners to call and tell us.
Hey.
And if you don't use the app, which I can see no reason on earth why you wouldn't use the app, but let's just say you didn't have your phone handy? No, that wouldn't work. But maybe you have only a landline handy at the moment, and you've got a tech question. What would you do?
Well, you can dial 24/7 800-899-INTO.
Now, if you have a landline, you have to dial 1-800.
Right. Okay. 899-4686.
All right. There you go. Do you also get our free once-a-week tech newsletter? If you do not, be sure to visit intotomorrow.com. Did I mention it's free and it's only once a week and we don't share your email address with anyone? You get tech news and a bunch of cool stuff, including Beth's tech tip.
Yeah, with the holiday buying season in full swing, it's a good time to test out your creative skills. And you can use some of your favorite tech to get your creative juices flowing.
There you go. And buying gifts for a budding software engineer. We tell you about some of the best coding toys and games to get your kids interested in STEM and spark their inner geek, even at very young ages. Check it all out by visiting intotomorrow.com.